If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on? For that, ladies and gentlemen, Dale Lippin in here, my partner in crime, straight from the Taliban headquarters himself, Trey Van Buskirk. What's going on, man?
I put up my bison head, so yeah, I did. That's pretty goddamn American.
I see that, man. I see that. You really, every time we do this, you've got one more thing sticking to the wall. So yeah. First, it was your, what was that, Princeton? Where'd you go to school at?
yeah, Princeton. We'll go with that.
Okay, so your Grand Canyon University diploma, and then we've got your black and white surf pick, even though you live at the beach, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
and then what are the new additions? What is that? A post-it note with your Wi-Fi password? What is that behind you there?
Oh, it's my Social Security, actually.
Your Social Security. All right, and then you've got the fake skull of a midget cow behind you right now.
Yes.
Excellent.
I hope to have up here actually the heads of a bunch of bookies that I'm going to beat this weekend. That's the plan. Yeah.
I mean, you should be in good spot. I mean, you probably took a couple thumbs and maybe an ear or two after this last weekend.
I feel like we both did. And we talked about this possibly consolidating our plays, because if we do, the vanity of how we do as a collective team is so much greater.
Yeah, for sure. And well, that's what we did last season, and it worked out wonderfully. We just one team, one fight, the whole thing, and it worked out beautifully. We've been a little bit more at odds this year, but collectively, a good night's a good night. We absolutely mopped the prelims, and then the main card, you know, did what main cards do. A little bit of judging, a little bit of unexpected. The theater of the unexpected is the fight game, as they say.
Yeah, you said, I don't want to be the group that constantly every single week criticizes the judges, but just like you did to that beer, I think we need to talk about it.
You want to talk about the judging yet again? All right, before we do any of that, I just want to give a shout out. Obviously, you're wearing that's not even a beer. That's a Cutwater. Jeez, oh man. Who doesn't pay us, by the way? You're wearing an Allegiance shirt. I've got an Allegiance banner. Taylor fought last week. Right. Did not go the way we thought it was going to go. A beautifully executed lay and pray strategy by Fabia Aguar. My concern is this. Johnny Eblen instituted the same strategy, lay and pray. And it's just something that, I say we, but it's the pejorative we, because I'm not in there fighting. But it's just something that we got to find a solution to. We got to figure out a way around that, man. It's tough. I mean, I don't want to call it a blueprint. It's not it is an effective method for the time being. So far be it for me. I'm not the one in a cage fight. I'm not the one who's in there getting punched. And I don't want it to be me outside of Chad Ochocinco. So I will say this. I thought it was a valiant effort. I thought a split decision was okay. And, you know, the judges did what they did, and it is what it is. But all the same, Taylor went out there, fought his ass off, left it all in the cage. That's really all you can ask for. If you got to be like helped out, carried, exhaustive, dripping in sweat because you lost 10 pounds because you tried so hard, it's a valiant effort. As long as he feels like he did his best, that's all you can ask, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, I'd rather take what I like to call a diamond in the rough. I think that maybe Taylor's a little bit rough around the edges right now. He needs to get polished in some areas. But what he possesses, what he's able to do, he gets those things polished up a little bit, and he's a contender. I wholeheartedly believe that.
He's such an athlete, and I mean, he's literally 0% body fat, all athlete, big explosive movements, which when effective is untouchable, but when ineffective can pose some issues. So on to the next one, baby on the way, fight probably after that. So repped all the same. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's funny when you're saying athletic and explosion, all I kept thinking about is our little thing we're doing starting September 1st, me getting very athletic and also having explosive diarrhea.
Why is it just you? I thought I was doing this too.
Well, you seem a little skittish. And if the listeners need to know, Dale texted me a couple days ago and goes, hey, are we still doing this carnivore diet starting September 1st? And I said, when was I not doing it? And he goes, well, how gnarly are you going? And I was like, I'm doing the carnivore diet, AKA I'm just eating meat, drinking water, and I'm good to go. And he's like, so no dairy. And I'm like, dude, what is this? Are we trying to do some type of backdoor like bullshit? No, I'm a man and I'm going to do it the way that God intended, which is freaking eat carnivore shit, drop the alcohol and become a beast.
Okay. So while I can understand that, first of all, you can't stutter over text. So I don't know why you're making me out to be some stuttering buffoon. That wasn't the case. And then two, admittedly, we're ideas guys. So a lot of stuff gets said, but we have about a 40% follow through rate. So I wanted to make sure that that was a good follow through. You, as well as I do, know that there are millions of emails and meetings that happen each and every day. Follow up is important. I just wanted to make sure before I go out and drop $400 on meat that we are actually still going to do this together. As far as the dairy thing is concerned, dairies come from cow. Right. So I thought maybe this would be a loophole because I like cream in my coffee in the morning. So I'm not a black coffee guy. I don't put sugar in my coffee, but I do put a little dab of half and half in there. So that's my concern is whether or not if I take my coffee with cream in the morning, whether or not I'd be violating the constitution and edicts of the carnivore diet. That's all my concern was.
Dude, I'm going to, rather than like putting cinnamon or something on top of my coffee, I'm going to like throw ground beef in it. That's how hardcore I'm going.
Right. See, now here, this is exactly it. Dale eats meat for breakfast, second breakfast, lunch, dinner, and supper. That's 100% correct. True. I will have zero problem executing the carnivore diet. I essentially sort of live carnivore now with the exception of beer, ice cream, and what you've now deemed to be an inoperable thing, which would be cream in my coffee. So outside of that, I essentially live carnivore anyway.
Well, bro, I've had medium stiffness tofu. I've had firm stiffness tofu. So I feel like I'm just there with you. But yeah. Dale, if I needed to get the actual meat, which I'm actually going to, because like you said, I haven't followed through. I have not placed my order yet. Where can I get that done?
You can get it done at Stay Classy Meats, man. All you got to do is Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code FISH. You can save 10% on the entire thing. So do it. So we can get the credit for it. So please use the promo code. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm probably going to load up on some ground beef, some ground buffalo, some searing ribeyes, and I'm probably going to do a lot of chicken if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because I can't afford a ton of steak. It's not for lack of wanting to.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm a little bit, you know, like I said, I feel like by doing this, I'm going to be a savage. I'm going to dress like an absolute savage too. I know we just talked about Taylor Tombstone. I'm actually wearing his walkout tee, which is so sick, dude. Send in the Cowboys. I'm not really sure what that's a reference to. Is that a movie?
Sure. I mean, well, there's the phrase send in the clowns, which is sort of like this idea of, you know, send in the people to get the job done. But here's the thing, right? Finish your ad read because I want to talk about that shirt for a second. Go ahead.
Well, it's pretty simple. Like sick phrases like this, guys, you can just go to allegianceclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH, you can get 15% off site wide. Tell me the genesis of sending the Cowboys or clowns or whatever you're talking about.
I don't know where it began, but this is where producer Jake would come in handy, but he's not here. So
smoking darts.
That's all right. He's smoking darts and hanging out. Oh, I was going to say something.
I knew what you were going to say too.
But I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it back. The Paralympics started today, and let's say producer Jake has a vested interest. All right. So that being said, Taylor was unable to wear that shirt for his walkout because there is guns on it. I know. This was so incredibly frustrating for me. And from a mental standpoint, it's not a good look for a fighter when right before he's getting ready to walk out, you tell him he can't wear his walkout kit and you make him change into something else. Thankfully, he had another previous walkout shirt with him that had the logo on it. You know, all well and good. But that being said, that walkout shirt that he wore was the walkout shirt for the Johnny Eblen fight, which he lost. The next walkout shirt where they taped everything up, you couldn't see our logo or anybody else's because they thought it was all gun related. He won that fight. And then this one, they don't let him wear it. He has to wear the green shirt again. He walks out, he loses the fight. The I'll be your Huckleberry shirt, bad juju.
Yeah, man. Bellator's gotten soft, huh?
They're all soft. Don't see. I like you just roll this out and you expect me to go on a tangent, and that's not the case. Although I do believe that they're run by a bunch of soft people. So we'll just we'll leave it at that.
I have a confession real quick.
What's up?
A moment. I did something really soft happened to me today that I realized that. Ooh. I'll be vulnerable for a second. If you want to be my therapist,
you're in the trust tree, man. Here, come under these branches. You're in the trust tree.
Okay. I don't want to get any splinters, but I'm going to climb it real quick.
All right. Go for it, man.
So my neighbor, literally on the other side of this wall right here.
Yeah.
Calls me and says, "Hey dude, my chick left her key in the car, left the light on. Can you come, can I borrow your truck? Can we jump mine? Cause it's out of battery." And I said, "Oh, for sure." Whip my truck around the alley, pull my car right up to his, you know, VW, whatever it is. And he gets the jumper cables out and kind of just looks at me. And I said, "Okay, yeah, hook it up." And he goes, "Well, I don't know how to do it. You do it." I know, dude. And I was like, "Okay." And I don't really know this neighbor too well, even though it's my next door neighbor. But I just said, "You know what? That's cool. I'll just do it." So I grabbed the red one. I grabbed the black one. And in my mind, I'm like thinking about my children. And I'm like, "Fuck, dude, I'm going to die here. I'm going to die." The last time I jumped a car was probably 15 years ago, and I don't really remember which one goes where. So nonchalantly, I'm trying to play a YouTube video while I'm walking to the other side of my car where you can't see my phone. I remember that red goes on first, and then I thought that maybe red goes on his car first. So then at a certain point before sacrificing my life, I said, "Hey, dude, these controls look different than what I'm accustomed to." And he's like, "What?" And I'm like, "This looks different." And he's like, "Oh, okay." Cause I have no idea how to do this either. So then him and I are sitting on YouTube trying to figure this thing out. And we read this report that if you put the black on, you're going to essentially blow up and die. So then I'm like, "Well, fuck, dude, I don't want to do this. This is not worth my time. Do you have to go to work tomorrow? Can you Uber?" We start getting into this whole crazy conversation. Long story short, I call my jiu-jitsu coach up and I'm like, "Hey, you're probably going to demote me to a white belt or just kick me out because I'm an absolute fucking moron and a pussy. But which goes where?" "We got it done, Dale. But I'm just telling you, I felt soft."
I appreciate your vulnerability. Right. I'm not going to say anything here.
Okay.
What's important in this situation is that you've identified a blind spot. You know that there's areas that you need to work on.
Okay.
So the judgment moving forward will be, how do you adapt and change this for the better so it doesn't happen again?
Right. Okay. And is there like a site that I can go to?
I mean,
okay.
Here's the thing. If you're never exposed to it, there's no, you don't like, so it's a stupid phrase, but like, you don't know what you don't know. Right. And if you're never exposed to it, how would you know? I mean,
not everyone can buy a brand new golf cart every other week, dude.
A golf cart's drastically different than not knowing how to jumpstart a car.
Because it's got a battery.
One could potentially be like a life or death situation. The other one is just a recreational vehicle that I cruise around my neighborhood in. So they're not the same.
Mm.
It's not really even close. So and this is not an attempt to make fun. While we're on the topic of automobile maintenance, can you change a tire?
Why? What?
Can you change a tire? Like if you get a flat tire on the side of the road in your truck, can you change it?
Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. I'm not a mechanic.
Are you joking, or you can do that?
No, I took auto shop in high school, but come on.
Okay. So that's going to be the next thing we do. So let's FaceTime this weekend and I will teach you virtually how to change the tire on your car.
By that time, dude, Tesla is going to like automate your driving anyway. So why do I have to do that?
It's not really how that works though. It's not how that works.
Okay. Well, I'm going to murder this car and I'm not going to have to drive myself ever. So I'm going to be like that McGregor status. So
you know how to change a tire, right? You're just messing with me.
I swear to God, I don't know how to change a tire. It's ridiculous, dude.
All right, man.
You want to pour one out for me?
kind of do, actually. I kind of do. I need you. Can you see if your wife will just let you come here for like a 3-month boot camp?
Oh, she'd be so nervous, dude.
We'll learn how to change. We'll learn how to change tires. We'll shoot guns. We'll eat steak. We'll watch action movies. We'll get in a fist fight. Like we'll figure it out. We'll put some scars on you, man. We'll put some salt on you. Right.
That's the gnarliest thing you put up, by the way, on your Instagram about Fight Club. I totally forgot that rule that on night one, you have to fight.
You have to fight. If it's your first night, you have to fight.
Yeah. So I feel like the moment I come over there, we have to fight.
Of course. Listen, here's the mark. And this is one of the things outside of genitalia that differentiates men from women is that your best bros are dudes that you can get into a fight with.
Right.
Like if you can't get into a fight with your friend and then still be friends afterwards, that's not really your friend.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Like I don't know. I don't know if I have a best friend, like my best friend. Right. Actually, there's you and one other person that's on my favorites list on my phone that I haven't gotten into some form of fight with.
Right.
And that'll change the moment I see you. I'm going to punch you in the face. And then afterwards we'll hug it out.
Oh, it'll be impossible because I will pull guard.
You'll pull guard? Fair enough. Fair enough. I like this one. First night of man camp, we're going to change a tire. Second night, we're going to jump a car. Third night, we're going to drink a rack of Budweiser and fight a midget.
Jesus Christ.
So here's what we do. This is what we do. Maybe next year, we do a punch list retreat.
Yeah.
And we'll all meet up like in Vegas for a fight card or something like that. We've sort of talked about this before, but we'll make it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So we can go shoot some automatic weapons. We'll drive sports cars really fast. We'll drink a ton of like just all American beer. Right. We'll all wear Allegiance clothing like a bunch of goons, and we'll watch some fights or something like that.
So hardcore. Definitely not wearing a shirt that entire weekend, right?
Well, I mean, you probably have to wear one into the UFC event that we're going to go to, but outside of that, shirts are optional.
Yeah, for sure. We're going like Dober-esque.
We should see if Dober wants to come.
He definitely won't wear a shirt. It's perfect.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
I love it.
All right. I love it. Do you want to break down this super thin card?
12 fights. Why not?
I hate that. This is the weakest card. This card is so weak.
You know what's the weakest part of it, though, is the lines. I've never seen lines so far apart in my entire life. It's like these things.
Well, no, it's a Bellator card.
That's exactly what it is.
This is the angry orchard of MMA cards is what this is. This is just laughable. Laughable. I mean, it's going to get the job done, but it's going to take a long time. You're going to be miserable in the morning when you wake up and you're going to wonder why you did that. And you're going to say, I don't even know if I really enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
All right. We'll kick off the angry orchard card, man. First fight on the main. Are you going to do the odds so I can just read?
Yep.
That'd be super, man.
All right, let's do it.
Hold on, let me pull up the bout order because, of course, I don't have it because I'm a mess tonight. First fight on the main card, Gerard Meerschaert at 32-14 taking on Mahmoud Muradov.
Ooh, all right.
Here's the thing about this fight, man. Gerard is a +410. Muradov is at a -585. Over and around is at 1.5. This is a Bellator fight. This is, I would almost go so far as to say it's a PFL fight. These are PFL odds. And just like PFL, something weird's going to happen here. Something weird is going to happen with this fight. There will be something about this fight that will be anomalous to the rest of the card. You go ahead first.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're going to throw the PFL language out there, usually we don't bet PFL, but this one, I don't want to say there's a lot of these really far apart lines that people are going to say, oh dude, that's put that guy in a parlay, put that guy in a parlay. Mm-hmm. This is not someone I put in a parlay. Muradov, if everyone doesn't remember, this is the guy that's on Team Money Team. This is on Floyd Mayweather's like MMA guy. He actually has really good striking. He's got heavy hands, good fight IQ standing up, actually has really good takedown defense. So when you look at Meerschaert, you know, this guy, he's all about his submissions. If he gets someone down, he's somewhat scary. But what he's susceptible is the gunfight that's going to ensue standing. So I'm nervous about him in the first round and a half, trying to get that takedown, having to, you know, take a couple to give a couple to get it down. minus 585 is absurd. So obviously you can't play that. Even Muradov inside the distance, you're probably getting it at minus like 250 or something like that. I don't like that. So if you're going to play this, you either play Mearsharp by sub or you're playing Mahmoud by KO. And, you know, if you want to sprinkle on certain rounds, that's where you got to get in the weeds a little bit.
I'll say this. We've got Muradov 3 UFC fights under his belt, 2 third round finishes, and a unanimous decision over Alessio Chirico, who we were going to talk about later on tonight. Right. It would appear that he's a bit of a slow start.
Mm-hmm.
With him being a slow start, I would say that over under rounds at 1.5 coming back at even money is a decent play. Take the over. He appears to be a slow starter. Now, the thing that throws all of this off, and there's a couple different wild cards to this fight, which I said something here is going to happen that's going to be anomalous amongst the rest of the card. There's a couple things. One, the submission game of Mearsharp. He is dangerous, and while they're dry, that's going to be his best chance to make it happen. Right. Not particularly known for his cardio, definitely not known for his chin. He's really got that one path to victory, and he may get it done. Better chances when they're dry as opposed to when they're slippery and sliding in the third round. So Mearsharp and under 1.5 seems to be the play if you're leaning the Mearsharp and the upset side. If you're leaning towards the favorite in Mahmoud Muradov, I would go with the over 1.5 or take him by knockout. Mearsharp does not have a particularly great chin, is not particularly gritty. So I would take Muradov by KO. I would not put him in a parlay. I would consider playing over 1.5. This fight is too weird, too sketchy, and minus 585 is not worth risk versus reward. Even from a parlay standpoint, he's going to drag your parlay down, make you extend it to the 3 or 4 fighter range. And you and I both know, as well as anybody that's even an avid gambler knows, the longer the parlay, the higher the chance it doesn't hit. So once you get into that 4, 5, 6 fighter arena, it becomes increasingly difficult to hit those. Minus 585, you're looking at least, unless you're putting underdog money on it, a 3 or 4 fighter parlay, which then you're getting into the sketch zone. So I'd advise staying away from Muradov unless you want him over 1.5 or by knockout. If you're leaning on the Mearsharp side because you like that upset money, take a money line and under 1.5.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Next fight on the main card, my man. Michael Gilmore versus Andre Petroski. This is why I feel like this is a Bellator or a PFL card. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, Trey. Full transparency for the listeners. I haven't watched a single episode of this new Ultimate Fighter.
Mm.
I don't know who a lot of the people on this card are.
I'm just curious. Just how come you haven't watched one episode? Do you ever watch any episodes or not really?
I'm not a big TV guy to begin with. So normally I don't turn on the TV until after the kids go to bed. So usually the way my night plays out is get home from work, dinner, family time, kids, bed, and then I kind of just chill for a little bit. Wife does her thing, cleans up, does all that, whatever. And then we circle the wagons around like 9:15 or so, and then we'll throw something on the TV, usually not live, usually not fights. We'll watch an episode, maybe two, and then we go to bed.
Okay.
So yeah. I just don't have time to sit there and watch Brian Ortega and Alexander Volkanovski pretend to care about coaching these professional fighters over the course of 6 weeks while they live in a house, drink beer, and talk about their lives and stuff. I just don't care enough about them to do that. So,
no, I totally get that. Transparently, I skip 75% of the episode. I just go to the end when they're actually fighting. I do care about these fighters. I do think they're up and coming. We've seen amazing people come from the Ultimate Fighter. This is an interesting one. Obviously, this is one of a couple fights, you know, on this card that are from the Ultimate Fighter. So Andre Petroski, he's Team Ortega. He trains with actually Sean Brady and Pat Sabatini, which is kind of cool. Right. He's got that, you know, like Sean Brady, yes, he's got that kind of plodding style. He's super strong. He's got great BJJ, but his stand-up's really heavy shot. So that plodding style is really to kind of get him in close, get him in clinch, you know, secure a double and get it to the ground, utilize the BJJ. Gilmore, team Team Ortega as well. He's kind of getting a second, like, short notice fight because he wasn't supposed to get this fight, but I think one of the guys had like a leg injury or something like that, and that's why he kind of got swooped in at the last minute. He's not polished in any facet. He got freaking, I think, KO'd in his opening round. He's super susceptible on the ground. So what I really like in this fight right here is Andre, who's going to be the much stronger person, getting this to the ground and taking advantage of someone who has zero ground game. So if you're going to play this, I like Andre by submission. I also like him inside the distance. It's like, I know it's pretty far at minus 520 lines. I'm telling you, find the inside the distance prop, find the submission prop, anything like that. I'd like playing, but Michael Gilmore's, biting off more than he can chew with this fight.
Well, I noticed that all three of Gilmore's pro losses have come via submission. So if you're telling me Petrosky's got a decent ground game, say less. I got you. Petrosky by sub.
Love it. Okay, there you go.
All right. Kevin Lee taking on Daniel Rodriguez. Daniel Rodriguez at 15-2. Kevin Lee at 18-6. Personal bias aside, full disclosure, I don't like Kevin Lee. He's at a minus 150 here, over on rounds at 1.5 with Rodriguez at the plus 120. I'm not a big Kevin Lee fan. I believe that Kevin Lee thinks he's the best fighter on the planet. And I think maybe to an extent you have to believe that if you're ever going to be a world champion one day. But Kevin Lee is borderline delusional and has the personality of, I don't know, man, just somebody that I know without ever meeting that I could never be friends with in real life. I just know that, like, without ever having spoken a word to him, I just know that there's no plane of existence in the multiverse where Kevin Lee and I could ever be friends. I just don't dig that guy at all.
I disagree, dude. You're a tattooed man. What do you think about his head tattoo?
Here's the thing. You being of clean virgin skin, here's something you don't understand about us tattoo collectors, is that if you are the owner and connoisseur of good tattoos,
yeah,
that you paid money for and look good and put an investment into,
right,
you frown upon people that don't approach it the same way.
They're not respecting the craft.
I don't know about that, because I don't tattoo, but I've spent good money on mine and it shows. So whenever you just load yourself up with nonsense and gibberish and you look like you're covered with stickers in a mix and match, like my kid got a hold of a sticker book and just placed them all over you, I don't understand what to do with that. And Kevin Lee is a hodgepodge of craziness. He's got that weird Jamaican Lion of Judah thing on his back. He's got that weird head chandelier. He's constantly got some version of a tattoo and staph infection poking out of his tits all the time.
Right.
I just don't dig on Kevin Lee, and I don't like his attitude either. Anyway, we're not attacking the guy here. He is very talented when he wants to be. Another guy, I'm beating the same drum all night tonight. He lacks grit. He lacks the ability to dig down deep when it matters most. If you can take him to deep waters, you can beat him.
Yes.
You can absolutely beat him. Daniel Rodriguez has to do that. I will not bet on Kevin Lee until I see him win a fight again. Double ACL surgery, both knees getting your ACL done. I won't bet on you till I see you win a fight. He's going to come out there wrapped up like Dan Kelly. I will not bet on him till I see him win. That being said, Daniel Rodriguez appears to have some dog in him, but a couple things I don't like about him. We don't know what his wrestling game is like long-term, tested, but with a grinder. He also exits exchanges with his chin held high, and I hate that. I absolutely hate that he does that. It drives me nuts. And he could very well get clipped by Kevin, who has a lot of power. We also have not seen Daniel Rodriguez in a high-profile spot. This is a very high-profile spot for him. So we don't know how he's going to react to that. We have yet to see him under the really bright lights. So will he shine here, or will this be an indication of what's to come? The bigger the fight with Daniel Rodriguez, does he wilt? We don't know. We haven't seen him in this level of spot. The opportunity's there. I'm getting him at plus money. I'm going to play him at plus money, but there's a lot of unanswered questions going into this fight.
Yeah. And I think when you talk about grit, that's a huge component for me. You got to remember, this is the Kevin Lee that straight up, I think what his last fight was against Charlie Olives, and that was like at the precursor of what COVID was a year and a half ago. He hasn't fought. He got pieced up, and following that loss, he straight up came out and very openly said, "I just don't know if I want to do this anymore. I just don't have the passion." long layoff. You don't have the passion. You don't have the grit. You know, you're fighting at a different weight class at 170 from 155. You're going on a guy that, yes, it is short notice, but possesses a ton of power, has good takedown defense to what we've seen. He's going to be the bigger person. There's a lot weighing on the Daniel Rodriguez side that I like in this fight versus what Kevin Lee possesses that could get him, you know, the win. To your point, yes, Daniel Rodriguez lifts his chin, moves away a little bit, just like your boy Gregor Gillespie. That's a big issue. You can get clipped, you can get laid out, and send to the ether. But I do think that Daniel Rodriguez is going to be a little bit more stronger in those clinch-heavy approaches that Kevin Lee's going to have, so he's not going to be able to backpack him. I like the over 1.5 in this for sure, because I do think that while Kevin Lee does not have a cardio tank, D-Rod's got a little bit, even if it's on short notice. Different weight class, haven't fought in a while. Over 1.5, feel each other out for the first round, then hope someone doesn't get clipped. I like the over 1.5 in this, but I don't like this fight.
All right. Ultimate Fighter finale here. We got Ricky Tercios taking on Brady Hystand. Is it Hystand or Hystand? Doesn't matter. Doesn't.
Hystand.
Okay, cool.
Oops.
That's all right. You're good.
Yeah. Yay. There you go. It is.
All right. Hystand coming at a plus 135. Ricky Tercios coming back at minus 165. Over on our rounds is at 1.5. I don't know anything about either one of these guys. Trey, this is a solo breakdown for you.
This is interesting because this is probably, I think it's the only fight on the card that's actually a Team Ortega versus Team Volkanovski fighter here. So Ricky, I love Ricky. You know, actually before I even saw him on the Ultimate Fighter, because he's a Team Alpha Male guy. He's a longtime listener. You know, I'm all about Team Alpha Male. But Ricky's a different type of beast. He's a good range fighter. And usually when you hear range fighter, you think, oh, he's a point fighter. He's going to get it to decision. No, he's like this unorthodox, kind of weird range fighter where he has a ton of power, but he's not nervous to, you know, do something crazy like an Imanari roll to get it into a jiu-jitsu game or keep it standing. But everything he does is with power, explosion. He's super versatile and very active. Brady, though, on the other hand, Team Volkanovski, he's a brown belt in BJJ. He trains with people like Michael Chiesa, which, you know, I like. He likes to set up his wrestling to get it to, you know, the ground game. I think Ricky's got good enough jiu-jitsu to negate what Ricky's bringing forth. I'm surprised this line is actually this narrow. Of all the crazy lines out there tonight, I would think that Ricky would be way, way heavier. I think that Brady also, he's not evolved enough. The dude's only 22 years old. And you think the Bright Lights Ultimate Fighter card, Ultimate Fighter finale, in the heat of it, Apex, quiet vibes, Dana White sitting right there. I think Brady's going to fault. I think Ricky's just too unorthodox and out there to get it done. I like Ricky here. I actually think at minus 165, you're getting a really good price on him. I don't want to play the over-unders because I really think that Ricky's going to piece him up, but I do like Ricky in this fight.
Here's something that I want to take note of. If there's no other stat that shows up, okay, your Brady Hystand, professional wins, he's got 5, okay?
Okay.
The combined record of his opponents for his 5 wins, 1-24.
That's got to be it. There's no way that's real.
He's got 5 wins as a professional.
No way.
The combined record of all of his wins, all the wins of his opponents that he's beaten, 1-24.
Oh my God, dude, 165 is a steal. Steal.
Smash Tercios, right? We got to smash him.
So hard.
Okay.
There's your parlay piece. Your freaking 3 props in it. Yeah.
1-24. Those are Khabib numbers.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yikes. All right. Brian Battle taking on Gilbert Urbina. 5-1 for Brian Battle, 6-1 for Gilbert Urbina. Again, the floor is yours, sir.
No worries. Battle, if you did watch episode 1 of The Ultimate Fighter, that was Volkanovski's first overall pick. A lot of people liked him, obviously, in the warm-ups and everything because he's got really good Muay Thai style. He's got good combinations. He's pretty savvy on the ground. Gilbert, here's what's interesting about this. When I saw the line come out and Gilbert being a plus 165, I was like, you know, this is interesting. Battle is, and sorry if I said savvy on the ground. He's not savvy on the ground. He has no ground game in Battle. Gilbert, as you can imagine, any Gilbert, any type of like Brazilian out there, they are very savvy on the ground. If he holds tight, he's going to come in, he's going to be the stronger person, and he's able to get this thing to the ground. Gilbert has a way to victory. I like the plus money on this. If you want to play it, play battle over 2.5, because that's, you know, what he does. He's Muay Thai style, but he's not doing anything damaging. He just kind of holds you in close and gets little jabs and little elbows in here and there. Nothing that's actually going to drop you. Gilbert is stronger of the two, so he can hold him closer. And God forbid he brings the, you know, the elbows from the waist down to the knees, buckles them and brings them to the ground. Gilbert can get a sub. So if you want to be super cute, I would just take Gilbert outright at plus 135. But if you want to get super cute, play him by sub. I'm not messing with the over and under there, but yeah.
All right. Main event of the evening, Edson Barboza taking on Giga Chikadze. I don't know if there's a country out there that's got that, that's riding more momentum than the country of Georgia right now. And Giga's getting his first main event slot. Giga is somebody that we have tapped for, I don't know, man. It's been a while. It's been a while now. We said this guy was somebody to watch. Said it's probably, was it 3 or 4 fights ago? Probably be the last time you saw him at plus money. This is going to be the closest you're going to get to plus money again on him. Right. Him versus Edson Barboza is at a pick'em on most books. Over on rounds is at 4.5. You and I do have a slightly differing opinion when it comes to Edson Barboza and how he's looked at featherweight. I've actually enjoyed his featherweight run. That's not, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's something that you've expressed that you haven't exactly enjoyed. I think you kind of liked him better at 155, but I think he's looked good at 145. He will be Giga's toughest test to date. The strength of schedule for Edson Barboza is second to none. Maybe the only person that supersedes that strength of schedule is that of one Michael Johnson, who I constantly sing the praises of when it comes to the lighter weight division, having a tough schedule. I mean, they feed Michael Johnson. The only people who fights are killers. Edson Barboza, very much the same, probably the only person that has a stronger claim to a better strength of schedule is Edson Barboza. I think Edson can absolutely win this fight. And I'm going to play him in this. And the only reason why I'm doing that is because I have not seen enough of Giga yet. I've seen enough Giga to trust him with a lot of people in a lot of matchups, but I haven't seen enough of him yet to trust him in a main event spot, 5 rounds against an ultra durable, ultra talented, still very fast in his late 30s, Edson Barboza. Still very fast, still very powerful. I just don't trust Giga enough yet. If this were some other people in this division, I would have no problem in selecting him. I don't trust him enough yet. I need to see a little bit more. There's not enough tape on him for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna make this very black and white, and I'm not talking about skin color.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Well, no, I mean, one dude is black and the other is white, but I'm not talking about that.
Keep it moving. Just go. Before we get bogged down, go.
Okay. Sorry. No, you're right. I have never liked Barboza at 145, even though he's been an absolute stud. The reason I don't is because he looks so drawn. It's kind of like Jose Aldo at 135. Like, they just don't look healthy on the scales. Having said that, Barboza, once he rehydrates, he fills out really quickly. He's still as fast. His leg kicks are just as devastating. Giga, amazing kickboxer. I get it. He has a massive hole, and it's one that's never been tested. And I say this time and time again. If a fighter comes in with a blueprint and exploits what is a massive hole, they'll get the win. The problem is they never do that. They tend to just get into a firefight with something that they shouldn't be doing, whether that's striking or so forth. Giga Chikadze does not have a ground game. He has no BJJ. If you go back to his losses, you know, back in 2018, he's got a couple sub losses. That is because he has no ground game. It is not evolved. No one's actually even tried to test that as of recently. You could say in the background, yes, he's been trying to work on his jiu-jitsu. No, he's been striking. He's been striking and he's been doing it really well. Barboza is a BJJ black belt. It's weird to say that because you never see him use his jiu-jitsu. Having said that, Barboza, what he needs to do is utilize those devastating leg kicks right off the rip. Don't allow Chikadze, who's never been in a 5-fight main event, fight to get his rhythm going. Throw him off his rhythm immediately, find him a little bit in a wonky zone, get it to the ground, try and get a submission. Do I think Edson's going to do that? Absolutely not. I think this is going to be a striking affair. And if I'm going to be honest, I'm going to go with you too. I think Edson, he's been in these spots before. He knows what's up. He can go five rounds. We don't know if Giga can go five rounds. And I do think from distance, Edson's got a good chance. But I would love to him to exploit, what is that ground game?
Yeah.
Chikadze.
I'm just going to throw this out there real quick. Okay. Just strength of schedule wise, right? Just because it's worth noting. Former WEC champ, Jamie Varner, Cowboy. Bobby Green's on a tear right now, so we can throw Bobby Green in there. But Bobby Green, Michael Johnson, Paul Felder, Tony Ferguson, Anthony Pettis, Gilbert Melendez, Beneil Dariush, Khabib, Kevin Lee, Dan Hooker, Gaethje, Felder again, Dan Ige, and Shane Burgos, all on the fight list. If you're Edson Barboza, he doesn't get paid enough money. I don't know what Edson gets paid, but it's not enough. It's not enough to fight those guys.
No, and who is Giga fought? Cub Swanson.
Man, real quick, because we were talking about alpha male guys. When was the last time that Uriah Faber won a belt? When was that?
It's WEC.
Was it WEC?
Yeah.
Did he defend it?
Yeah.
Okay. How many title fights has he had?
I think he's had six.
Oh. How many has he won?
It'll come soon.
It's a round number. All right, here we go. Prelim card. Guido Canetti at 8-4, taking on Mana Martinez. Martinez at 6-2, Canetti at 8-4. I'm going to breeze through these pretty quick. I don't know how Guido Canetti has a job still. It's not on me to say what man should or should not be able to provide for his family. I just don't understand why they keep giving Guido Canetti fights. He always shows up in somewhat... His body would appear that he's in shape. His output and performance would indicate that his cardio is bad.
Yeah.
Mana Martinez was knocked out by Draco Rodriguez, which that knockout alone is single-handedly responsible for having me believe that Draco Rodriguez is good, which he is not. My hope is that Martinez can right this ship here. He's a -320 favorite against Guido Canetti. I'm going to say this. He's a big favorite. I don't love him in that spot at that price. I hate to fade every huge favorite and say don't put them in a parlay because they are favored for a reason. But that's, here's the thing, man, is that one of these heavy faves is going to lose. One of them is going to lose. I don't think it's going to be Martinez. I'm going to play Martinez just for the sake of providing a pick here. I'm going to play him by sub too, just for the sake of trying to church it up a little bit, maybe a small sprinkle. I don't love this fight for him. Guido is a seasoned veteran. He just has to outlast him. If he can outlast him, I think that he can get it done. Actually, I'm sorry. I didn't mean by sub. I meant by knockout because Martinez is a knockout machine. The only time he's ever lost, but one of his losses came via submission. So I'm going to take Martinez by knockout in the latter rounds after Guido gets tired.
It's funny. You could have said sub, and I think I would have rode that train with you as well. Yeah. Because, think about it. Guido is, he's 1-3 or 1-4 in his last five or four fights. But all of them have been by submission.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a total fair point. Martinez, this was the dude that was supposed to fight Trevin Jones last week, but I think there was like a COVID thing. Probably had exactly what I had, a little false positive or a lie. I have no idea. But trains with Adrian Yanez. This guy's an absolute beast. He's Dana White Contender Series dude. Heavy hands, a lot of aggression. I love your play by KO. But gosh, I mean, this guy that's so susceptible to submissions, that's not a bad play either.
No, yeah,
I love it.
It's not. But the other thing, too, you got to keep in mind is Guido's 41. And he's taking the fight on relatively short notice. Older guy with a bad gas tank to begin with on short notice.
Yeah.
Just inside the distance, under 2.5 is good. Then you don't care who wins. Under 2.5, inside the distance. Martinez by knockout. whatever you want to do. Or if you can find a TKO sub prop, you can do that too. They have those dual result ones, whatever you want to do. Just don't love the minus 320. All right, Pat Sabatini taking on Jamal Emmers. Jamal Emmers, if you remember, Trey went to a split decision with our main event guy, Giga Chikadze, a couple years back. Jamal Emmers at 18-5, Pat Sabatini at 14-3. I'll let you go first, my man.
Well, dude, remember Jamal Emmers was the guy that passed out before he was going to fight Chaz Skelly, who we were all psyched on.
I know. That was one of the bigger plays we had was Chaz Skelly.
Yeah, and we were pumped on that. But the dude had a crazy back spasm, which apparently pushed over into him fainting or whatever.
Yeah.
Honestly, both guys are versions of each other. They're really good grapplers. Jamal, when he fought Giga, he completely ditched his game plan, though. Ended up striking with him, which was super weird. He should have wrestled, should have got it to the ground, but didn't do that. Pat's got a really good sub record. He knows how to wrestle. He's got a good fight IQ. I think Jamal's going to have the heavier hands. I think he's going to have a little bit of better striking. So we'll see if Pat wants to kind of jump in and try and get a takedown. More so than anything, I think both are going to respect each other standing on the feet, and they're definitely going to respect each other on the ground. So I think the over 1.5 here is the play.
Interesting. I saw this and I thought over 1.5, but then I started convincing myself of the inside the distance play. And then whenever I think inside the distance, I hate play. That 1.5 makes me nervous. Right. I'm leaning initially from a money line perspective towards Emmers, but I do love the creativeness of Pat Sabatini on the ground and just his overall approach. I just don't necessarily know that I love him in this spot. Emmers, when he shows up the fight, appears to be pretty talented. And I think he'll have more tools come fight night to get the win. I'm going to lean Emmers from a money line perspective. Minus 155, that's probably all I'm going to do. Thought maybe about a two-person parlay, but I'm just going to leave it at that. All right.
There you go.
First women's fight of the evening, J.J. Aldrich at 9-4, taking on Vanessa Demopoulos at Demopoulos at 6-3. J.J. Aldrich is at 9-4. Just going to be full disclosure here, Trey. I'm going to play Vanessa. And I'm really just going to play Vanessa based solely on the fact she's a plus 285 and women's underdogs are science. I really don't base it on skill so much as I do that I just never thought that I would live in a time where J.J. Aldrich was a minus 360 favorite over anybody.
Right.
Over anybody. That just doesn't make sense to me. J.J. Aldrich at minus 360 money is one of the more absurd lines that we've seen this year, and this year's coming to a close.
I've always liked Vanessa, and maybe that's because I have this soft spot for LFA fighters. And
strippers.
You know, she's a... The what?
What?
What'd you say?
Nothing. You were saying what?
Oh, I was saying LFA fighters.
Strippers.
I have a... Is that what you're hearing? I can't tell what my mouth's saying and what my mind's saying. I'm pretty sure I'm saying LFA fighters.
Strippers.
You're saying strippers. Yeah, that's what my mind keeps saying.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's a stripper.
Was. I think it's former. I think it's a former.
Well, and from San Diego. So, like...
How so you know her from the Sugar Shack.
What is... Yeah. yeah, you got me flustered here. Hoping the wife is not listening to this episode either. But yeah, I like Vanessa. I've liked her, you know, in her LFA days. She is the women version of Chris Montino. I say that Chris Montino just got rebooked for a fight, but she is a walking zombie. She literally will take so much damage. She is the most durable chick that I've seen in a very long time. You know, having said that, JJ, I think the line's gotten a little bit deeper for her because she has been training with Rose Namajunas, which, you know, gives you a little bit of better fight IQ, but I think the athleticism's never there. It's never been there for JJ. She might be a technical striker, but I don't think she's going to be the stronger, more bullish fighter. Someone that can dance on a pole, I think, is not only versatile, but smart, gorgeous, and just a great person. I'm taking Vanessa.
All right, man. Fair enough.
Hold on. You're going to talk shit about me. All right, hold on. Yeah, I didn't know how to jump a car. Okay, whatever, dude. this guy here, I learned today, didn't
I'll tell,
know.
Let me tell it. Let me
no,
tell
it. No, you tell it, dude. Yeah.
I didn't know that the poles at a strip club, I didn't know the pole spun.
Dude, if they don't spin, tell me the core strength that all these strippers have. That's it was off the chain.
That's why I thought it was so impressive. I didn't know that the pole spun, man. I just learned this very recently. I didn't know that it spun. I thought it was a very I thought it was a learned skill.
Dude, it is learned. It's still an art.
It certainly is, but I mean, you can't tell me that if some dude in the Philippines can make an underground house with a stick in the mud that a girl can't grab a pole and spin around like that with her boobs out. I thought that's what was happening. I didn't realize that the pole was spinning. I didn't know that.
Have you ever been on a party bus?
No, I have never been on a party bus.
You're telling me you've never worn a Speedo on a party bus and just partied your ass off?
I've worn a Speedo, but just not in a party bus.
Well, that's absolutely insane.
Here's something you got to understand about me. My bulge game is strong. Right. So if I start wearing tight stuff, things get uncomfortable.
For you or for everyone?
For everyone. It's very important to me that most of my things that I wear are bulge proof.
Right.
Because if I start knuckling it around, things get weird, man.
That's fair.
I'm not a big fan to just go ahead and shrink wrap the boys and start taking them out in public. People get uncomfortable by that.
Right.
I'm not a big gray sweatpants guy. I can't get much done if I'm wearing gray sweatpants.
You were a skinny jean guy, though, weren't you?
I'm definitely not a skinny. Again, I just told you I can't do that. I'm not a skinny jeans guy.
Not I'm with not this built massive like, hog.
No, it's not that. It's just what you don't understand is I'm built like a colonial housewife where I literally go from like this to like this and everything's thick from the waist down, except I have no ass. It's just all hips and legs.
You're like a spinning top.
I could probably lift your truck off of you with my legs, but I sit on my lower back because I have no butt cheeks. So yeah, there's that.
Who's the heavyweight that fought last week that had a freaking caboose and legs?
Oh, William Knight and Fabio Chiffon. Both those dudes, man, are pulling Oregon Trail level wagons behind them. My gosh, man. There's no way. If you're that thick, you have to have a bidet. You cannot clean that. There's no way you can clean them cheeks. They're too close together and they're too thick. There's no way. You got to spray down. Every time you take a dump, you got to take a shower afterwards. There's no way when you're that caked up that you can get yourself clean. You can't.
That is the ultimate sign of alpha male right there. If you walk in and you're like a single dude and you have a bidet, it's like, fuck yeah, dude.
Got caked up, man. You got to clean that up. All right, man. Dustin Jacoby taking on Darren Stewart. We got three fights left. Let's get these done. Right. Dustin Jacoby at 14-5, Darren Stewart at 12-7, the dentist himself. I'm having a pretty active 2021, if I'm being honest with you, for Darren Stewart. We're not used to seeing him be this active. Plus 150 here against Dustin Jacoby, minus 180. Over and around is at 2.5, Trey. Darren Stewart is a fighter who I routinely fade, and it has proven profitable so far. I will not mess with the formula. Dustin Jacoby, money line. That's it for me.
Ah, man, I know. It's tough because Dustin Jacoby's got a good kickboxing background. He's fought good competition, i.e. like the Ion Cutelavas of the world. Darren Stewart, there's a reason they call him the dentist, dude. He's a strong guy. He's strong in his striking. He has decent wrestling. I think he has the ability to muscle this fight a little bit. I think if he can get it down and he can do heavy top pressure, he can get this done. Darren Stewart, call him what you will, he is durable. So I think I could see this going the distance. I like the over 2.5 in this fight for sure.
Your assessment. I think Darren Stewart is very undurable, but it's your assessment, not mine. All right, Sam Alvey taking on Wellington Turman. Wellington Turman at 16-5. Sam Alvey at 33-15-1. Words that I never thought I would say.
Sam Alvey is
my most confident play of the night. I'm going to say it.
It's a fair statement. I thought you were going to say, Trey, you're right.
About what?
About Wellington Turman every single fucking time.
For sure, you are right about that. I tell you, you're right all the time. I have no, come on, man. Everybody that knows me, listens to this show, you know me. I have no problem giving kudos and props where props are due. When you're right, you're right. You've consistently faded Wellington Terman, and it's proven profitable for you. He's the antithesis of my Vince Pichel. So, yes, I agree. Continue to fade Wellington Terman. And the fact that Wellington Terman is coming off two devastating knockout losses, yeah, and you're taking him against a power puncher and Sam Alvey, who literally can do nothing else but other than hit like a truck, is just laughable matchmaking. And unless they know something that I don't know, maybe it's the fact Sam Alvey switched camps, moved across the country. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know. I don't know why they're giving Sam Alvey such disrespect. Sam Alvey plus money against a knockout prone Wellington Terman. Light it up. Biggest play of the night for me.
The only thing I have a question on is the past, I think it was like 3 or 4 months ago. Didn't Sam Alvey get like a contract extension?
He did. He did. He got, I think it was like a 5-fight extension.
How do you get that on 0-5-1?
Because he's in his fights. He's in them. Up until he's not, and he is competitive, and I think he had a string of bad luck there. Didn't he have like a no contest and an eye poke or a nut shot or something? Like, he had like a weird 2 or 3 fight thing where like people were getting hurt or sick or pulled out or what. I don't know, man. He might also be willing to fight for damn near nothing too, because his his wife's a model, so I think she's pretty much set for life. So he probably just does it for beer money, you know, like, hey, Dana, I'll come out there and swing really hard for 20 to show and 20 to win. And Dana loves people like that.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm on your train too, dude. I think from him, from 205 to 185, he's strong. I'd like him to be have a little bit more output. He's a little selective, but I think he'll be the stronger exchanges. And I don't think Wellington's of UFC quality. I really don't. I've never thought that.
Abdul Razak Alhassan at 10-4, taking on Alessio Dechirico at 13-5, our featured prelim of the evening. Alessio Dechirico coming off the win over Joaquin Buckley. Alhassan at the, wow, did I do this one? I did this one. This looks like I did it while I'm drunk. Equals 235 plus one or plus 95. Bad news bears here for me. What are the actual odds on my man here? Do we know? Let me look real quick.
Speak to me about this for a quick second, because yeah, I know this is a big component of this fight. So Alhassan, he had a conviction a little time ago. And the only reason I bring that up is because a lot of people believe that this was going to be the guy before his conviction happened. And then since he's come back, he just really hasn't been able to get it going. He's a guy that's a first round fighter. He explodes forward, but then he just completely gasses versus Alessio, who's going to be much more well-rounded and I think better in every facet. But talk to me real quick. What was the whole deal with that thing?
Wasn't a conviction. It was charges. And it was something sexual assault related.
Okay. But prior to that, he was the guy. Since then, and those charges were dropped, he has not been the guy.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Yeah, we just haven't seen enough. Unless he can blitz you and knock you out, he can't do anything with you. If you look at who he's lost to, right? Omari Akhmedov, Munir Lazez, Chaos Williams, Jacob Malkoon. Malkoon and Omari Akhmedov took the same exact approach. Close the distance, push you up against cage, drag you down, grind it out, right? Unanimous decision for Malkoon, and it was a split for Akhmedov, but I believe Akhmedov got rocked in that fight. So that swung the judges a little bit there, but he still ultimately got the win. Chaos Williams, Munir Lazez, Chaos obviously with the quick knockout, and Lazez just pieced them up, man, just outgassed them, outworked them for 3 rounds. I don't love Alhassan. I don't like him. I don't particularly like his skill set. I think he's too one-dimensional for the current state of the sport. I need to see more from you. I don't see much on the ground for him. I know that he calls himself judo something or other, judo lion, judo kid, judo something, judo thunder. Sorry, judo thunder. I don't care about that at all. I've only seen you try to punch people in the face. That being said, Alessio Dechirico coming off the biggest win of his career. Hopefully he's not feeling himself too much. Does what he knows will win the fight. Take him down, grind him out, drown him slowly on TV, and get the W. Alessio Dechirico, minus 235, maybe parlay, maybe.
I just take him by decision. If you're going to do that or do Al-Hassan in round one, because he's an all or nothing round one fighter. So Al-Hassan round one or Alessio de Chirico money line and or by decision.
Perfect. All right, man. Let's put a bow on this bad boy, guys. If you don't already do so, please follow us everywhere at Punchlist MMA. Best way to support the show is by supporting show sponsors. Thank you to Allegiance Clothing and Stay Classy Meats. Go there, use the respective promo codes. If you're going to Allegiance, use promo code PUNCH. You can save 15%. If you're going to Stay Classy, use promo code FIST. You can save 10% there as well. If you haven't done so, please considering liking, subscribing, sharing. Thumbs up if you're watching the live stream. Take 30 seconds. Thumbs up that video for us, please. It helps a lot. If you haven't left us a review on iTunes, please do so. Be sure to follow everywhere you possibly can the newest addition to the Punchless Media family, the Give Me the Points podcast. Their first episode is live on all podcast platforms, GIMME, The Points. So if you're into betting on football or any other sport that's mainstream that is not necessarily combat sports, that's where you want to go. Go to Give Me the Points everywhere, and you can definitely support Punchless that way as well. We'll be doing a giveaway with them next week, so be sure to like, subscribe, and share to their podcast. That being said, Trey, what else do you have? Anything at all?
You know, real quick, because it's just been weighing on my mind. We talked about Kevin Lee's tattoo. In your mind, who has the best tattoo or tattoos in the game? I'll tell you mine used to be, but I don't think he's no longer on the UFC roster, and I'm told the name's dating me, but I feel like you, the encyclopedia of MMA, will come up with the name. Who was the guy, big WEC guy, he had like a skin issue,
Scott Jorgensen.
He was my favorite.
Yeah. Scott Jorgensen has some good ink.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. He spent a lot of money on his.
Yeah, I like his.
Jorgensen's good. Yeah, I don't really know off the top of my head, man. I'd have to think about that for a minute. I'd have to think. Sometimes less is more. Sometimes high quality less is more. Because like otherwise you get like the Darren Tills of the world.
Oh.
With a giant portrait of a chick on your arm.
And we figure out who that chick is.
I think it's one of his baby mamas.
Okay, one of his
baby mamas. People don't forget that the Alan Belcher, speaking of bad tattoos, Alan Belcher just won his bare knuckle boxing debut this last weekend on BKFC. So shout out to BKFC. Alan Belcher fought as heavyweight. If you're not familiar, you remember Alan Belcher? Is that before your time?
Before my time.
All right, so go back, watch you some Alan Belcher. Okay. Alan Belcher was just a wildly fantastic kickboxer. I believe his MMA career was cut short, had a couple eye injuries, concussion, thing like that. Was on the verge of a title shot and then got wrestle death by, I believe, Bisping. I think Bisping was able to wrestle death him. Whoa. Or it might have been Chael, one of the two. Got wrestle death. It seems more likely that it was Chael, but it might have been Bisping. Anyway, it doesn't really matter at this point. Belcher was on track. It was a number one contender fight. A win over it would have given him a shot at Anderson Silva, which I always thought would have been super interesting because Belcher was a highly talented, highly regarded kickboxer. Anyway, he had a giant tattoo of Johnny Cash on his arm.
That's cool.
It's massive.
I like it.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like in that new school portrait, so it kind of looks like a fat hot dog vendor more than it does Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Do you need me to pull it up? Do you want to see it?
I need to see it, too.
All right, I got you, buddy. Give me a second.
Oh, man.
Well, say something while I'm doing that.
I'll just keep it going. Guys, as we continue on this journey, the best way for us to get bigger, better, have better interviews is for you to share the podcast. As you've seen on our social channel, you just take our story, share it onto yours. Who gives a shit? It goes on your story for 24 hours, then goes away. Help the boys out. Come on. The more we do, the more giveaways we can get, the more we can give back to you guys, the more we can get back to our retreat. Share our stories. Tell people about Punchlist. We're creating something here. You guys are part of it. Let's make it even bigger. Let's check this out here. Oh yeah, Johnny Cash has got like a dick on his chin. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, look at that thing.
Yeah.
It's brutal, right?
Yeah.
That's a rough tattoo.
Oh man, you're making me think of something too right now. Speaking of dicks, there was this singer, this old school like soul singer that had a sword right here on his chin. If you come up with this, I'm gonna just praise you right now. I'm blanking on the name.
He's old school.
Yeah, like he's like a soul singer, and he has this like sword on his chin.
Right, but when you say old school, like this person like was famous a long time ago.
Yes,
and he had a sword tattooed on his face.
On his chin. Yeah.
We sure about this?
Yeah, I'm going to post it on our Instagram right after the show ends, and I'm going to be like, damn it, I wish that I was savvy enough to remember that mid-show. I'm not right now.
White guy or black guy?
Black guy. Yeah.
Well, are you talking about like Sam Cooke? Like Sam Cooke had a sword on his face? What are we talking about?
No, it's the most wonky sword. It's so limp. It's a dick, but it's a sword.
What old person would have a sword tattooed on their face?
Oh, dude, it's so good. If I can remember the song, it's something like 1927 is one of the songs. It's like, oh, 1927.
What?
The fucking rain coming down.
What the hell are you talking about?
1927. If you Google that and Google a black dude with dick sword tattoo, I guarantee it's going to... I'll find it, dude. Don't fight it.
Okay. Okay.
Super relevant to the MMA world.
This is a complete mystery to me.
Dude, the entire week leading up to this event, I'm only going to play that dude's music on social.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks, guys, for tuning in the live stream. If you don't do so and you listen to this in audio format, consider joining us for the live stream. If you don't, that's fine too, man. That's fine. We do the live stream because our software allows us to. We just appreciate the support. So talk to you guys this weekend. Love you. Be good to each other.
Bang, bang.